I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 755. Excuse me. Yes. I'll stop and look for a second. 755. Stephanie Stifter from Department of Justice. Stephanie.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Stephanie Striffler, Special Counsel to the Attorney General. And I'm here to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 755, in particular the Dash 1 amendment. When I appeared here at the first hearing, there were some questions about whether Internet gambling is currently illegal. If the committee is interested, I'll expand on that question a little bit. Generally, under Chapter 167, unlawful gambling is defined as gambling that is not authorized by law. So if one engages over the Internet in any kind of gambling that's not authorized by law, it would then be unlawful. And the fact that you do it over the Internet rather than in some unlawful betting parlor doesn't make it legal.
So if you send for an Irish sweepstake ticket, you are illegal in the state of Oregon, right?
Well, actually, I did find the answer to that question also, which is that if you purchase an Irish sweepstakes ticket, you are likely engaging in unlawful importation of a lottery ticket. And I understand that the lottery has a bill to make possession of lottery tickets from other states lawful, but only as long as they're purchased in that other state. So purchasing a lottery ticket over the Internet from another state would be unlawful. I mentioned the last time I appeared that the reason that we support this bill is because Senate Bill 755 provides an additional enforcement tool for a difficult enforcement situation where gambling takes place over the Internet. One of the difficulties in enforcement has to do with offshore enterprises, and some states have found it effective that if you can't go after the offshore promoter of the gambling enterprise, if there is an institution onshore that participates in that unlawful gambling, then there are fewer jurisdictional problems and it makes enforcement easier. And so that's why looking at the credit transaction, which is necessary generally for Internet gambling, can be a helpful enforcement tool. The reason that we like the Dash 3 amendments is when I first looked at Senate Bill 755, had some concern, or our office had some concern, that the language referring to engaging in an Internet business might cause some persons to argue that there are internet gambling businesses that are legal, and I was concerned that someone not be able to argue that because of the use of that language that establishes the lawfulness of some internet gambling enterprises that would not otherwise be legal. I think that the Dash 3 amendment solves that problem by referring to unlawful gaming using the Internet or unlawful gambling using the Internet, so that what Senate Bill 755 with the Dash 3 amendment would get at is any gambling that's unlawful, and it would be harder to make the argument that the bill implies that some forms of Internet gambling are made legal by the bill. So we want it to be very clear that this bill does not authorize any kind of Internet gambling that would otherwise be illegal. So that's why we appreciate the clarification in the Dash 3 amendment. We don't think that the Dash 2 and either the Dash 1 amendments are necessary or the Dash 2 amendments are necessary. I understand the purpose of the dash two amendment is primarily to make sure that the Racing Commission hub that was authorized in the last legislative session is not made illegal by this. Again, I think the language in dash two fixes that problem, because then Senate Bill 755 only gets at unlawful gambling and neither authorizes any new form of gambling nor makes unlawful any new form of gambling. It just says if you're going to use the internet, here's what we'll do with respect to credit transactions.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, Senator Metzger.
You meant the dash threes, right, what you just said? You said dash
three. Oh, I'm sorry. The dash three fixes that problem. So yes, that, thank you, Senator Metzger.
So that by inserting that language of unlawful gambling, we don't somehow goof up anything that's already legal.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So it kind of blanket covers everything that's already authorized under other.
Right, or that might be in the future,
right.
Either.
Right, I understand.
Not yet. By the way, I think we should acknowledge the work that Ted did. I guess to point out he's the genius behind.
That's right.
The genius of legislative counsel, Ted Rother, solved the problem.
Dealing with the concern we had, so it's in dash three. Other questions for Stephanie? No questions? Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Mike Dewey.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Mike Dewey, representing Multnomah Greyhound Park and Television Games Network, that operates one of the so-called hubs in the state of Oregon. This is the first opportunity I had an opportunity to take a look at the dash three amendments. The previous witness said we don't think the amendment, the dash two, is needed. That clearly specifies that internet gaming, which is unlawful, does not apply to the Racing Commission and the entities that they regulate. I've not had an opportunity to talk to the Racing Commission about this, but we would like to make it very clear that this is the case. And when the previous witness said we do not think it's necessary, that causes me a little bit of concern. So we would like to have this engrossed into the bill to make it very clear. I know our clients would be very happy to see that, in the sense that that would provide
some comfort.
You're talking
about the dash two.
Dash two.
These are the dash two amendments.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, and I would hate to have us have a technicality down the road, because these are there's more than one hub, and they're employing a number of people in the state of Oregon. Good opportunities for the county fair to receive revenues from the hub and the racing tracks also down the road. So we would be very concerned about any technicalities. This is an area that is, again, is very complex. The Interstate Horse Racing Act has a prohibition that allows these kinds of activities to occur. The Kyle bill that tried to do this last session had an exemption for racing, and we think it just follows in line with the general philosophy. In other words, if it is excluded, then let's make sure it's excluded. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mike?
So just yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
So just to clarify, you would just feel more comfortable with the dash two and three?
Yes.
Okay.
I understand the distinction,
right,
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzger. It's just this is an area, a new area,
mm-hmm.
And the definition of internet is so broad that it takes into simulcasting and the hub, and that's why we think it's very essential.
Okay,
thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
By the way, Marjorie, I think you've done some research on this, too, with the Racing Commission. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, Chair Duncan, members of the committee, I did have a conversation with Steve Barham from the Racing Commission late yesterday afternoon after he had the opportunity to look at all three amendments, and he said, similar to Mr. Dewey, that he would enjoy the opportunity to have the dash two.
Sure. Anyone else wants to testify on Senate Bill 755? I'm going to close the public hearing on 755 and open the work session on Senate Bill 755. Senator Metzger?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move to the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 755.
Senator Metzger moves the dash two amendments. Any discussion? Questions? Any objection? Dash two amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 755.
Senator Metzger moves the dash three amendments. Is there any discussion on the dash three amendments? Is there any objection to the dash three amendments? Hearing none, the dash three amendments are adopted. Senator Metzger?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 755 to the floor with a due pass.
As
amended.
As amended.
Thank you, sir, Chair.
Okay. Senator Metzger moves that Senate Bill 755 is amended with the dash two and dash three amendments be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, 755 as amended will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay.
And the carrier, let's see, how about Senator Metzger?
Okay. Fine. Bye. I got my credit union tie on today. Glad I hope you noticed that. It's totally a coincidence, however.
All right. We want to thank you folks for
thank
the
you.
Good work. And
thank you, Ted, for your great work.
In, and I think you've done a good job, and the people of Oregon will be well served. Now, if we just get it through the Senate and the House and the governor, we're okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 755 and opening a public hearing on 2557A, House Bill 2557A. And you have the people to testify. All right. Grant Wolf from the Oregon Telecommunications Association. Feel free. Both of you come at the same time.
Thank you. Chairman Duncan, members of the committee, my name is Brent Wolf, representing the Oregon Telecommunications Association. The bill before us here, House Bill 2557, seeks to rectify what we feel is just an oversight resulting from the passage of Senate Bill 622 during the last session. That oversight is the requirement that small independent local telephone companies, as indicated in your materials there, would measure and report to the PUC the answer time at their business and repair office. In other words, how long does it take you to answer your phone at your business office? The requirement is that the call must be answered within 20 seconds. The reasoning behind our request is pretty simple. These small independent companies are meeting or exceeding all the minimum service quality standards that are currently in place, including the answer time. The exception is necessary because these small companies do not have the capability to measure this answer time. In order to purchase the equipment to get the capability, it costs anywhere between $35,000 and $75,000, depending on the equipment of the company. In our mind, it's just a cost versus benefit kind of situation. What do the customers of the company get for the purchase of this equipment? We don't feel there is a benefit. The customers are already receiving excellent service from these companies, and measuring the answer time at the offices, there's no benefit gained from that. In support of our position, you have in front of you some information downloaded from the Public Utility Commission website indicating two of these small companies. I didn't think it was necessary to download all seven, but two of these companies are meeting or exceeding all the service quality standards they can report. You also have in front of you a letter from the Public Utility Commission indicating their support of our position on this bill as well. That's the extent of my comments. We would appreciate your support and ask that you pass this bill out of committee with a due pass recommendation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Wolf?
Yeah, I
have
one. Just curious, Brett, in your testimony it indicated that when the rules were written on 622, that the Public Utility Commission staff didn't provide any leeway, despite your objections on some of these issues during the rule writing process. And I'm just curious, I mean, since the commissioners have unanimously endorsed this position, what either changed them or was this a lack of oversight on their part with their own rulemaking originally?
Chairman Duncan, Senator Metzger, it's my belief, and perhaps Mr. Smith could be maybe answer this as well, but the PUC staff didn't feel they had any room to provide any exemptions whatsoever to any of these. They did that in regard to the smaller telecommunication companies, those with 1,000 access lines or fewer. They exempted them from all these. However, when they did that, they indicated to me, and I believe to Mr. Smith, that they thought they were going out on a limb. They were exposing themselves to some liability there. For those reasons, they were hesitant to give that exception to us, the other smaller companies that were left out.
But they simply, well, they wanted it in statute. They didn't
want to
think that they were doing something differently than we had intended originally.
That's correct.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
So we're really just supporting something that they, in fact, had done.
Chairman Duncan, that's correct. They are supportive of our position and are sympathetic. That's correct.
Yes.
Chairman Duncan, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Smith. I'm with GV&W Consulting, and we've been involved with the OTA on this matter over the course of the proceeding with the commission. If I could perhaps add some additional comments to Mr. Wolf's response to Senator Metzger's question. There was some concern on the part of various members of the staff of the commission that we based our pleading in that proceeding on ORS 759-045, as I summarized in my testimony. And there was some concern on the part of the staff that without a specific step like this, that they would be not in compliance with the intent of 622. We did, in the course of that proceeding, provide some detailed data that I've included in my two attachments here for the committee today, where we outline the cost for each of the individual affected companies of purchasing the equipment that Mr. Wolf mentioned, as well as the ongoing cost. There's a cost of the equipment, and then there's the annual recurring cost. So we provided that. That's summarized on the second page of the letter under my signature dated April 17th, 2000. And we also included the testimony that we'd provided in one of the proceedings there just for reference for the committee. But they, as Mr. Wolf mentioned, they did make an exception for the companies up to 1,000 access lines in size. But the remaining companies that are affected do have a significant and material impact relative to their operations. Now, if you're talking about a company the size of Quest going out and purchasing an item that would cost $50,000 is perhaps not an issue. But for these smaller carriers who are on much smaller capital operating budgets and who have zero at-fault complaints, we're just of the opinion that that's an unreasonable outcome of that original legislation and are asking for your support on relief in that matter and a due pass recommendation.
I'm quickly glancing, as I recall, someplace, are there eight companies?
That's correct. I think it's three pages back.
7.95 companies.
Yeah. Seven companies right now and one that's maybe in the next few years be affected.
Any questions for Mr. Wolf or Mr. Smith? No questions. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to testify on this bill? If not, I'll close the public hearing. I'll open a work session on House Bill 2557.
Chair, I move House Bill 2557 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 2557 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, House Bill 2557A will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Marjorie, would you brief the committee on the work that we're doing with Tom Cook right now and getting ready for the student day?
Sure. Chair Duncan, members of the committee, I think I mentioned last week, we have a Kids and Technology Day scheduled for the coming weeks. It was originally thought that we could hold it next Friday, the 30th. However, spring break is kind of a conflict for some of these kids. So we're looking at Thursday, April 12th. We might not meet in this room. We might have to go to a different hearing room that can accommodate the video technology so we can communicate with these students across the state. I spoke with Camille Cole. I'm also working with Tom Cook. And it looks like we'll get either three or four schools, again, from across the state, and probably four or five students from each school. And we're developing a list of questions that I think, Senator Courtney, you might have seen those questions, that the kids can kind of chew on, get some ideas about what they can talk to you about, what you want to talk with them about, and about technology. What do they use? What do they see for the future? How are things going?
I assume there's enough open-endedness that they can create their own questions, so
sure.
Things we wouldn't even think
sure.
of.
Sure.
Senator Courtney, are we on target with
yes, Mr. Chair.
What you were after originally?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Is there anything else that we need to announce to this committee?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. We're working on some various projects. We'll keep you informed. Okay, nothing else to come before the committee? We're adjourned.